Well, thank you for being with us for Summer Sabbath 2022. It's an honor and privilege to get to spend this time with you today as we continue our series, Summer in the Prophets. Last week, we kicked off our series, and we met this guy named Samuel. He was the last judge and the first prophet in Israel, and through Samuel, we met this guy named King David, and David is known as a man after God's own heart, and we dug into how we are chosen by God, and we're going to kind of be in that vein a little bit today as we continue Summer in the Prophets, and we learn through Rescued as we are in the book of Daniel. So real quick, to have the proper mindset and perspective as we go into this, how many of us, real just survey, have ever given in to peer pressure? Real, be honest here, like raised hand emoji, you can say me in the comments. I mean, I'll raise both my hands. Like, how many of us have ever been and given in to peer pressure? Right? Now, those of you who are on the moral high ground that say you never have, I would ask you what brand of phone you have, and I guarantee you it was for a commercial. You gave in to peer pressure. All of us watched Saturday morning cartoons, and we had to have the toy that was on there that broke immediately when we got it, right? Like, all the way through, all of us have given in to peer pressure. That's something all of us have done, but see, here's the thing. Jesus came so that we didn't have to give in to peer pressure, that we could be in the world, but not of the world, that we could be set apart. And that's what we're going to learn through in Daniel today as we talk and walk through Rescued. So wherever you are today, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to Daniel chapter 6. We got one pit stop in Daniel 1 before we get there. If you don't have a Bible, listen, send us your mailing address. We can mail you one, but more importantly, we would love to invite you to hang out with us next Sunday, and we'll give you one in person at the downtown YMCA here in Spartanburg, but we would love to get that there, but I say it all the time because it's awesome. Our Vine production team is going to make sure the scripture is on the screen wherever you're watching around the world today, but also you can follow along with us in our free Vine Church app. You can download that today. What you're going to do is go to thevine.tv/app. It's going to send you a link to your phone number. It'll be a direct link to our app. And in there, you're going to see a notes tab. You can take your own notes. You can actually send prayer requests in. You can see past sermons on demand. You can learn all about the Vine Church and keep up with us. So make sure you download that free app today. I'm telling you, it's well worth it. Sometimes maybe you just have a prompt that said, I wish somebody would pray for me. You get to click that prayer wall and send it in. You're going to have multiple people praying with and for you. So download that today. So a little bit of background as we're going into Daniel is this. It's about 650 BC. Now, what ends up happening is the reason we're talking about this today is this is just how the Lord lines things up. It's about 650 BC. The 12 tribes of Israel have gone into the promised land, but they've split into two kingdoms over, guess what? Taxation. That's what it happened. If you go back and look at Israel's history, it was literally over taxation. It wasn't just two kings splitting the kingdom. It was taxation. That should sound eerily familiar here as we celebrate Independence Day. So what ends up happening is 10 tribes go into the kingdom of Israel, and then you have two tribes in the kingdom of Judah. And in the kingdom of Judah, Daniel's there. What ends up happening is the Assyrians have taken over the kingdom of Israel, and now the tribes of Judah and Benjamin are in the kingdom of Judah itself. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, goes in, he takes them captive, and he brings them to Babylon. Now, we may have learned about the story we're going to talk about in Daniel 6 today if you're already there in Daniel and the Lion's Den, and it was a really cool flannel graph we learned about in children's church or in Sunday school or in VBS, but I'm just going to be real with you right now about the book of Daniel. It's not all rainbows and butterflies and unicorns. See, here's the God's to honest truth of what happened. Daniel is a young man. He's a teenager. What ends up happening is Nebuchadnezzar takes young men who he thinks he can mold and assimilate into Babylon, back to Babylon. Everyone else is in slavery, yes, but those that were not worthy to go to Babylon were killed. They were slaughtered. It's real. Like, we don't talk about that much. Like Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, God's people Israel, before Christ was always a remnant. And that's what ends up happening is the remnant goes into Babylon and the remnant goes back. And so for each and every one of us today, I just want us to see the heaviness of that, because to be quite honest with you, there's a heaviness of what we get to walk through. See, what we're going to learn about Daniel today is what in the world do we do when the pressure is on? Like, yes, when we're in the lion's den, but what do we do when the pressure is on? Because we know we're not called to be of the world, but instead be in the world. In other words, set apart. Consecrated is the word. We talked about that with Samuel last week. Like, how in the world do we do that? Because the hope of the gospel literally is the only hope any of us have. It's the hope of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope any of us have. Like, governments will fade, nations will fade, kingdoms will fade, decisions will come and go, laws will go and change, taxes will rise and fall, investments will come and go, houses will come and go. But the one thing that remains the same is Christ and Christ alone. So wherever you are today, I believe that today we can be encouraged and strengthened, because today we're going to learn through Daniel how we can respond when the pressure is on, when it feels like we're in an Instapot. Hopefully we don't get kicked off of that. If you know, you know. Wherever you are right now. So if you're with me, give me an amen. Amen. I'm with you. All right. So Daniel 1:8, and then we're going to get to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel 1:8 says this: as soon as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know that story, we're diving in that a little bit, not today, but they go to Babylon, and it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So long story short, Daniel goes, all the men, young men of Israel go. Daniel's a teenager at the time. When we pick up Daniel in the lion's den, he is much, much older, okay? So he's a teenager at the time. Long story short, they have the king's food and wine. That portion is given to them every day. Daniel knew that God said that food was not clean for them to eat, so he requests the clean food that God says they can eat. Literally, he's a vegetarian at that time. So he goes and he's basically having a vegetarian diet. After the few days that that happens, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are actually in better shape and look better physically than everyone else. So Daniel's character from the beginning is, I will not defile myself with the things that God says I shouldn't. And that's where we're going to pick up. So Daniel 6, if you're not there, go ahead and flip a few pages over. Daniel 6, verse 3 and 4 says this. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So we pick up Daniel's a slave in the king's service to now he's running the entire country. At this time, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. Wouldn't that be great to know that you have someone representing you that is trustworthy, not corrupt, and not negligent? Wouldn't we all love that? Wouldn't that be? And I just want to have a side note right now. With all the chaos and craziness, I shared it earlier, but all the chaos and craziness in the world around us, we still get to live in the United States of America. We get the freedom right now to spend this time together. Great country, greatest country on the earth right now. But I want to tell you so many times, this country will come and go. Jesus won't. And that's where Daniel is. He is saying, hey, I'm not going to defile myself with things that God says I'm not supposed to. Instead, he is looking here and he is saying, hey, I'm going to be God. I'm going to show God to everyone he places in my path. And the reason this is important for Daniel is he set the stage in Daniel 1. What's about to happen in Daniel 6 is this crazy scheme is about to happen where they're going to try to find Daniel at fault for something that throws him into the lion's den. So the first thing for each and every one of us when it comes to this, how we respond when the pressure is on, is godly resolve. Godly resolve. The first thing we do that Daniel had is we have godly resolve. Godly resolve. If you think you don't have resolve, you don't have a two-year-old. All right, we were all two-year-olds, right, at once. And many of us may not remember. We're 2 years old. Your brain's still forming. There's just crazy cool things that happen with your memory after that. Usually your first memories form sometime around that time frame. But if you have a two-year-old, you know they have resolve. What do I mean? If they see it and they want it, they're going to get it at all costs. Like, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to stop them. Like, they're going to go get it no matter what you do. You can scream no, say no, they're gone. Like, it just is what it is. I tell you stories about me. Like, I'm so thankful for my mother. I'm thankful for my sister. I was like her real live baby doll. Like, it was really cool that God has that awesome family that I have. So I'll just be real with you. So, like, she's like my second mama. Like, that's just where this is. But when I was growing up, my poor mother, she had just about every James Dobson book and collectible video, Focus on the Family. If you know, you know. Hopefully we don't get kicked off for that, because she had me, the strong-willed boy. Like, I was strong-willed. What we call that when we get older is prideful. Like, that's where it is. And Jesus still works that out in me. But what I'm saying is, you may think you don't have the godly resolve. You may think you don't have the strength. You may think that you cannot respond and you don't have the strength to go on. And my friend, maybe just like me, the reason you don't have that is you're operating in your will and your time and your stubbornness. And I just want to remind us what Paul says about the strength of God, is his strength is shown greatest when we are at our weakest. So maybe, just maybe, at this weak point, if you want to respond to the world when the pressure is on with godly resolve, work in his strength, not in yours. That's what Daniel is doing right here. So how in the world then do we have this godly resolve? Well, the first thing we have is we got to be identified by Christ. We got to be identified by Christ. Remember, I was talking about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego coming over. And believe it or not, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not their Hebrew name. Daniel actually got a new name as well. His name was Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar. And basically, it pointed to a foreign god. And when we look at Daniel, we don't see him. Nebuchadnezzar refers to him as Belteshazzar a couple of times, but we're reading the book of Daniel. Daniel, the name that he is given by God. Daniel is his name, not Belteshazzar, okay? So wherever you are right now, the question is, are you letting the world name you, or are you going to be identified by God? Are you going to let that bank account name you and identify? Are you going to let that house that's going to fade identify you? Are you going to let that degree identify you? Are you going to let the title given after a comma on your name identify you? Because when you do those things in the world, those things, as we see, will absolutely be crushed at a moment's notice. But the one thing that won't is Christ Jesus. And so we have to find our identity in Christ if we want to have a godly resolve. Because when it feels like we can't go no more, in Christ we can. In Christ we can take that next step. Because we let Him alone define us. And when we are identified by Him, we get to have this godly accountability. Now here at the Vine Church, we say it all the time, life change happens best in Christian community. And maybe you say, I can't get to Thursday night greenhouse gathering, I can't get to a group, I've got all these thousand things going on, so I just want to get it to the basic level of godly accountability. And remind us of this. Kind of talked about this in Chosen last week, but here we go. Godly accountability is this. God knows everything you do. He knows everything I do. The good, the bad, the ugly. You know you didn't wash your hands when you left the bathroom today. Shame. I'm just kidding. Wherever you are, right? Right? But the gravity of this is this. God knows everything you've ever done and ever will do. And He still loves you enough and me enough that in spite of us, He sends His Son, Jesus. He comes down in the flesh to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, living a perfect, sinless life we couldn't live, making us righteous, getting us to be able to be in the presence of God, paying the penalty for that sin, dying for us so that we don't have to, and He rises again on the third day and leaves an empty tomb, that we can experience heaven now. We can live who we were created to be fully now in our godly identity. So we've got to have godly accountability in our life, and that is what Daniel is doing. He is holding himself to God's standards, not Nebuchadnezzar's or the world's standards. So as you have this godly resolve, as Daniel talks about, we're going to continue on to see how else Daniel responds for each and every one of us too, as we see the pressure is on. So as we go forward, I just want to tell you something about Daniel that sets him apart as well. Daniel is not like the other prophets. He works a full-time job. Sorry, cough drop there. He works a full-time job, okay? He works a full-time job, all right? He's literally running a kingdom. He comes in as a slave, And he's running a kingdom, but he is also a prophet inside of that kingdom. Okay? Like, how crazy is that? Like, Samuel, full-time prophet. All right? He went around, visited village, full-time prophet. You go, you read some of the other prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah's there just, nope. You've made God mad. You're going to feel his wrath. Like, if you want to read that, that's where that is. You go in, Elijah calling down fire from heaven, like all the way through. Elisha, Ezekiel telling the people all of the visions that God's given him. All like, they are full-time prophets. But Daniel is different. He is a full-time prophet, but not really. Like, he's working a job while he's a full-time prophet. I have a respect for Daniel. Like, Daniel is you and I, how we can be set apart in the world and not be of the world. So as we have this godly resolve, let's be reminded that, hey, there are people who have gone before us who have done it. And if God was with them, he's with us today in Christ Jesus. And we can continue to move forward in all that God has called us to do. So what ends up happening really quick before we get down a little bit deeper into Daniel 6 is Daniel goes and all the elites are really ticked off because he's second in charge. Like, how can this slave, how can this slave from Judah, how can he come in? And how in the world can he be set over the kingdom? So they go and they scheme up a way to try to find him. We just saw what happened is they couldn't find anything wrong with him. So they say, here's how we're going to catch him. The only way that we're going to catch him is he is defined by his God. So we have to make sure that he breaks the law by being defined by his God. And so what they do is they set up for the king 30 days. They say no one can worship any God or any created thing except the king. And so what does Daniel do? He goes to the top of his house, he opens his window, and he prays 3 times a day, and everyone sees it, and the elites think they have got him. The satraps are like, this is it. We have got him. We have got him. And so that's where we see the second thing that Daniel is about to show and how the pressure and how he responds. So let's get down to verse 15. And see what these men do. Verse 15. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember your majesty that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring, with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Daniel's tomb is sealed. This is such a picture of Jesus. Like, this is a picture of Jesus, who is known as the Lion of Judah. Awesome. Hey, if you ever read The Lion, Witch, the Wardrobe, this Aslan right here, like wherever you are, this is it. Daniel's in what is his guaranteed tomb. So what got him there, but what has continued to get him through it is God himself. Because if you want to know how to respond when the pressure's on, not only do you have to have a godly resolve, you've got to exceed expectations. That's what puts Daniel in this vaulted position to run the entire nation is all the way through. He exceeded expectations and he had high standards for himself because it was God's standards. It was God's way. He always stepped out in faith. He was not willing to let a law or edict stop him from worshiping God. And so whenever we read in the New Testament that we are supposed to surrender to the earthly authorities, yes, God has placed them there. But when those earthly authorities set themselves up above God and make us worship them over him, that is when we push back. Church, if you ever want to know, when do I push back when the pressure is on? How do I do it? The question is it making you, is it making that thing a God above it? And has God placed you in that to reveal himself to others through it? So whenever it says that we can't worship God, we continue to worship God. That's where Daniel is. And he doesn't waver. Look, like, how easy would it have been for Daniel to be like, hey, the Daniel fast isn't just vegetarian. It can be a prayer fast for a few days. Like, God knows that I love him. How many of us are guilty with that, right? But instead, he continues on. So when I say exceed expectations, hey, where you are at work, what got Daniel to be second in the kingdom, even though he's just been thrown in this lion's den, is he always exceeded the expectations that was set before him. Because he knew that he was working as unto the Lord, not unto himself. See, the thing about Daniel here is we're about to read on is See, we think the moral of the story of Daniel is, if I stand in faith, then God will rescue me. See, that's not it. It's not it. It's, if I'm faithful, even though I'm thrown in a fiery furnace or I'm thrown in the lion's den, God is faithful and is working all things out for His glory and for my good. Therefore, I stand for Him. Big difference. I don't stand to make God move on my behalf. God has already moved on my behalf, which makes me stand for God. If you see what I'm saying, like, if we want to be in the world but not of the world, that's how we do it. Right now, everyone is trying to have the moral high ground. I shared it last week, last Sunday. I don't celebrate a Supreme Court decision. I don't celebrate a law change, and that frustrates Christians sometimes around me, and this is why. As quickly as that law came in, just like Daniel's finding out, it can change that quickly. But Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the firm foundation upon which I stand and my life is built on. And He wants that for you as well, because that gives you the godly resolve and it allows you to exceed the expectations of this world, because you're not defined by the world. So what ends up happening is this, the king gets him in there. He seals it. It looks like Daniel's situation is not going to change. He's going to be a fancy feast for some lions in there. It looks like that's what's happening. But I just want to ask you, just take a step back for a minute when it looks like exceeding expectations where we are in our life. I just want to be real. How easy would it be for the king to say, I made a mistake? You see, he didn't. He obviously loves Daniel. You're about to see the king's response to Daniel and the king's response to what he thought highly of Daniel, but the king's response was, hey, may your God rescue you. In other words, I've done all I can do, Daniel, but I've got my pride to keep intact. I've got my position. I've got my title to keep intact, so I'm going to throw you to the lions. See, some of us feel that way. Some of us are the ones that have thrown others to the lions, and I just want to say God still loves you. He's forgiven you. Bring that to the Lord today. Let Him heal and restore you as only He can, and He will tell you the next step you need to take in that. Some of us today feel like we're Daniel in the lion's den. Like, we feel like there's nothing but chaos, ferociousness, and just everything is pressure. It, like, Daniel going into the lion's den is that Instapot. We just feel like pressure is all around us, and we don't know what to do. Well, we've got that godly resolve. We've got to continue to have and exceed expectations, because we're going to see what ends up happening is when we're built on God and we're built on His resolve, when we're built on His identity for us, we will be able to continue to stand. So let's go to verse 18 and see how this works out. Verse 18, then the king returned to his palace. So he tells Daniel, hey, may your God rescue you. He returns to the palace and he spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. If you ever think God doesn't move in the hearts of those who are unbelievers, you've forgotten what He did for you before you realized He saved you, before you surrendered your lordship of your life to Him and confessed your sins to Him. You've forgotten what that is before you made Christ your treasure. He is moving in a king that is a king, that is prideful, that has built a kingdom around himself, just told everybody they have to worship him, the king. Now remember, Saul did that last time in Israel last week when we hung out, and God rejected him as king and ends up placing David in his place. Look at what's happening here. Like, this king doesn't trust God. He doesn't know God as his Lord and Savior, but he knows that Daniel's God can rescue him only because Daniel is built upon God. So what does it say at verse 19? At first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the what? Living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Look at this. Guys, this should look like the resurrection story. This should look like the tomb was sealed. It looked like the situation hadn't changed, that Jesus was dead. There was nothing. He was a prophet. It looked like all hope was lost, but the stone was rolled away. And early on that Easter Sunday morning, the ladies go first, the women go first to give spices and get the body ready. And they run to the tomb and it is empty. And the angel's saying, guess what? He ain't here. He done rose again. early the next day. This is Jesus in the Old Testament, church. This is Jesus showing up. This is pointing to the resurrection for us. And so now that we know when the pressure is on, we have to have a godly resolve that we have to exceed expectations. The most important thing I would move outside of that is to respond to the world with grace. Everyone's fighting for the moral high ground right now over a decision of a Supreme Court. All right? And everybody's one-upping each other, and they're entrenched in their camps. But you see, Jesus doesn't, he calls us to be set apart and in the world, not of the world. We're not about setting up entrenchments and encampments and telling everyone how wrong they are. Instead, look what Daniel does. He responds with grace. So the king comes, he shows up first thing in the morning. Let's see what happens in verse 21 and 22. Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel. He shut the mouths of lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." Daniel knew, as we know, and we are in this world, not of this world, is everything belongs to God anyway. And Daniel said, "My life itself belongs to God, and it is his to give and take away. And it does not matter because God is with me. That is where I will be for eternity, is with him." So he knew and he was not afraid. And he said, hey, he shut the mouths of lions. Now, some skeptics may say, well, how in the world could that happen? Well, let's think about this. Let's, logically speaking, gravity is something that's really crazy. It catches up with us over time. And if God created gravity, maybe you don't believe God created gravity. Maybe you just want to say scientifically gravity happens. Are you going to say that a lion can't have an upset stomach? So you're going to tell me then, if a lion can't have an upset stomach, can't have an upset stomach overnight, so Daniel can't walk out? But you see, I would move to say it's actually something that's supernatural. God was over it. The God who created the gravity, who created the universe, who created you and me, shut the mouth of the lion. And I will tell you right now, as those lions' mouths were shut, I just wonder, like, did Daniel sing "Soft Kitty, Warm Kitty, Little Ball of Fur"? If you know that Big Bang reference, it is, I get off of tangents, I'm sorry. But wherever you are, for real, like, God shut the mouths of the lions for Daniel, and he said, the first thing he said is, he didn't say, "Forget you, king, you're terrible, I want to call down rain, fire, and thunder upon you." He responds with grace and says, "May the king live forever. I've been found innocent in the sight of my God, and he has rescued me, king, not you who threw me to the lions. But I've never not served you either, king. I've made sure, your majesty, that I have honored you." You see, church, that's how we respond in times like this. We extend grace to those who don't deserve it because God extended his grace to us who didn't deserve it. What I mean is this: the best way to love your enemies is to not have so many enemies. Thought about that? Maybe the best way to love our neighbors is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. As a matter of fact, Jesus said those are the two things that fulfill the law. Those are the two greatest commandments. That's how we live out the Great Commission. So for each and every one of us, would we respond with grace? Would we respond with grace? Daniel comes out promoting life, speaking life to the king. Now, what ends up happening before we get to 26 and 28, if you want to have a chuckle, you can read the verses in the in-between. All of those satraps that went against Daniel and tried to make sure he died were actually thrown and the lion's upset stomach weren't upset anymore. They were fancy feasts for the lions, okay? But because Daniel responded with grace, look at the king's response in verse 26. "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel has gone through three kings, he is still prospering because he is not defined by the kingdom of this earth, but by the kingdom of God. And because he responded with grace, a king declares that God is God. That is how we go and are in the world, but not of the world. And here's the thing that I want to say for each and every one of us. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus, God showed up. He shut the mouth of the grave, the death we deserved, through his son for us. And if he has given us grace, we can definitely give grace to those who don't deserve it. Because I'm just going to be honest with you. One thing I've learned in my life and the short life I've got to live so far is life is short. And we're not promised tomorrow on this earth. And so I would tell you, I would much rather you not be my enemy and extend grace to you than me be bitter and mad at you the rest of my life. Because what a waste. What a waste. Daniel didn't waste the opportunity. He decided to speak life. So here's what I want to ask you as we get ready to wrap up here. Who needs grace in your life right now? Who needs God's grace? Maybe it is that enemy. Maybe it's that frenemy. Maybe it's the thing driving you insane. Maybe it's the person you're arguing with on social media right now. Who needs God's grace? Because see, here's the thing about Daniel. Share this a little bit last week. If you know anything about me, when it comes to my life, I can't really see out of one of my eyes well. Okay, that's we all get there. I've actually had it basically my whole life. I spent my whole life lying. I would memorize eye charts with one eye and read the same line. I know it's a confession. I confessed it last week, so I'll say it here. But here's what I want to tell you. You see, we will often spend our life looking at our situation from the lens of our circumstance, from the lens of the world, from the lens of our feelings. And if Daniel did that going in that lion's den, he didn't have full confidence in God, would have been a long night. Might have been a long night anyway, but it would have been a really long night. But what set Daniel apart and what sets us apart, church, as we look at the world and our lives through the lens of Christ, his love, his grace, his mercy, the life that he has given us, the life that we get to share because he gave it for us. And so whatever situation you're in that the pressure's on, maybe you need to change your prescription. Maybe you need to change your lens. And instead of looking at it through the lens of your feelings, look at it through the lens of Christ. Look at others through the lens of Christ. Be reminded of what it was like to be separated from God before you confessed and repented of your sins and surrendered your life to Christ, lordship of your life. Be reminded of that and extend his grace. See, for each and every one of us, maybe someone needs grace, God's grace in our life, and we haven't extended it because we've forgotten what it was like to be lost. But some of us today, we've got to first experience God's grace for the first time. You look back at your life and it seems like the pressure is always on. You're just hoping that just one situation would change. You just need something to fall in your favor. You just need one thing to happen. And when that happens, then everything else in life will be right. And you've chased it your entire life. You've chased the car. You've chased the career. You've chased the house. You've chased everything. The family, the kids, the pets, the jet planes, whatever it is. Like, you've chased it and they always come up short. And so you keep searching for the one thing. That will turn it all around. And I would move today to say, have you considered Jesus? See, all of us are sinners that deserve death. We are narcissistic wrecks of human beings. I know I say that a lot, but it's the truth. We set up ourselves as an idol above God. We do that, all of us. I don't care how good or how morally upright you think you aren't. Because at the end of the day, it's about you. But see, because of that, that's at enmity with God. That is against God. That is against what he created us for. He created us to be in his presence. And the problem is that sin, that idol we have set up in our life, puts us in separation with him. But the problem is, it is so wide, we can't do anything to get there. So we'll spend our whole life trying to fill that chasm. You see, God didn't say, well, let them spend their whole life trying to get to me. Instead, he sent his son who came down for us, Jesus, who fills that chasm for us. He lives a perfect, sinless life we couldn't live. If you want to know and you think nobody's been in your situation, Jesus has. Bring it to Him and He'll help you through it. He lives a perfect, sinless life we couldn't live, making us righteous, which brings us into the presence of God. Not only that, He pays the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross, bearing God's full wrath for our sins. He loves us enough. He doesn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day, and the same Spirit that rose Him again is the Spirit that is in us, that are in Christ Jesus, the Spirit that is molding and shaping us, letting us be who we were created to be. See, God rescued Daniel, and God rescued you and I through Christ. And the question is, now that you know that, what will you do with it? Because see, John 3:16 and 17 reminds us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." In other words, God is not standing there shaking His head, mad at you. God is waiting for you to respond, to say yes to Jesus. And so, why we do what we do every week is, what we're about to do is say a prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you, the words of this prayer is the faith that Jesus is who He says He is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from You. I believe You came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow You step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed online or wherever you are right now, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask if for the first time you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand? Wherever you are, would you raise your hand? Maybe you want to leave a raised hand comment. Maybe you want to shoot us a message on Facebook or on the website or in the app or at prayer@thevine.tv. We want to celebrate this decision with you because we just want to tell you it's not the finish line, it's the starting block. Because this is the best decision. There are angels celebrating in heaven. Like a king, there's more than a king that is running to make sure you're okay. All of heaven is rejoicing at you surrendering your life to the Lord. And we want to help you. We want to help you not just take your next step. We want to help you get plugged into a local church near you so you continue to grow to be all that you were created to be. For the rest of us, we're about to worship. And whatever your situation is, maybe all that you can focus on is the lions and the pressure, and it just feels like you're about to be devoured. Will you turn your eyes toward Jesus? Will you keep your perspective on Him? Will you look at it through the lens of Jesus? Because when we do that, we'll extend His grace, we'll exceed every expectation this world throws at us, and we will live with a godly resolve. Let's worship together.
The Son of God gave His
incredible EFAM Sunday and what awesome worship. I pray and hope and believe that today you left better than how you walked in. And as we turn our eyes towards Jesus, we know that when He is our focus, we can clearly see the world through His lens, not our lens. And how great and awesome is that? We hope you have an incredible week this week, celebrating time with family and friends. And we look forward to seeing your smiling face on Sunday, July 10th, because we are saving a seat for you at the downtown Spartanburg YMCA. You make plans to be there. We would love to celebrate an awesome Sunday with you live and in person, 10 a.m., 151 Reball Street, Spartanburg, South Carolina, The Vine Church, or you can watch online at thevine.tv or for free in our app. Have an awesome rest of the week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.